looking to find true balance in this time of chaos and change, wishing you could keep the faith, longing to forge ahead beyond the shadows into a brave new light? Buckle up and lean in for an hour of questions, answers, and practical magic. Welcome to Living on a Prayer. Now here's your host, Michelle Morgan.
Okay, come on. We're way behind because of yesterday's bomb threat, so let's get going.
Why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near? Just like me, they long to be close to you.
Ethan, please, I'll lose my job.
Why do stars twinkle in the sky every time you walk by? Just like me, they long to be close to you.
Nathan, we're trying so hard to keep these kids off drugs.
Oh my goodness sakes. Welcome, 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 everybody. This is Living on a Prayer. I'm Michelle Morgan, and we are very live in the studio today. Barb, that was brilliant, darling. Little sound bite from one of the best movies ever, Parenthood. If you haven't seen it, you got to see it. It's amazing and completely appropriate to our topic du jour today, raising polaritudinally correct kids. I've got some live ones in the studio right now, so we're going to be talking to some very lovely ladies coming up here shortly. I'm just going to do my little, you know, business thing that I always do. Hope everybody had a great week. Would love to hear from you. If you got a subject you want me to cover on an upcoming show, you can Facebook me. Sounds really bad, doesn't it? Facebook me. Or you can email me off of my website, michelle1lmorgan.org. I'd love to know if you got something you want me to talk about. Be great fun. Go to the host page on contacttalkradio.com. On the right side, click on iTunes to subscribe to this show, and you can rate this show. I'm kind of psyched. I have like 5 ratings, 5 stars. It's pretty cool. Yeah. You know, but those are probably all my closest friends, all my closest clients. The check's in the mail. Wink, wink. You can catch the archives of this show on the media page on my website. And, of course, if you love the music on the show, you can go to iTunes and download the songs. However, I don't believe the sound bites are downloadable. Barb, you little doll face, you're so much fun. So, we're going to dive right in here because we got a ton to talk about today. We are talking polarity again because, hey, there's really no other subject, but specifically how to raise children with a true sense of their instinctual core. This show actually came about in a pretty cool way. Been teaching the prayer workshop in the last couple months, and 2 separate groups with fabulous women, most of which whom were mothers. And as a natural part of the workshop, we started talking polarity because we talk about the polarity of God in that prayer workshop. And we started talking about, you know, how do you teach your kids about polarity? How do you teach them to be in their core, since we live in a world where very, very few people are? Not a lot of role models out there. So we had these great dialogues, and it was funny because the Wednesday night class started the dialogue, and then my Saturday class started a similar dialogue, and I went, aha, perhaps there's a show here. So we're doing the show here, and I've got actually 3 of those lovely moms in the studio live with me today, and another one on the phone. So we're going to be bringing them in here in a second, and we're going to have a big, huge convo about this subject. So, little recap. Polarity is the natural spark of energy that occurs between 2 opposites, masculine, feminine, yin, yang. It's elemental in all of the natural world, and it's instinctual, automatic, and hardwired, not only in the human psyche, but also in the human body. So it plays into hormones and all of that great stuff that kids end up going through at a certain age. Now, everybody has both masculine and feminine energy within them, but at your core, you are one or the other, and your core is your essential nature, your authentic self. So we've talked in prior shows, the cultural codes of our modern society really push everybody towards equality, which has turned into sameness. It's a neutralization of instinctual polarity. So, you know, why is that a problem? Well, because you take your instinctual urges and you neutralize them. Here's a little example for you. Here's a little analogy. So let's say that you're really, really, really hungry and you just choose to ignore it. How long is that going to last? But worse, let's say you have to really go to the bathroom really bad and you just choose to ignore it and suppress it because apparently it's not culturally approved of. You're going to have some troubles, kids. You can't wake up one morning and decide you don't operate by the laws of gravity. Okay, well, polarity is the same thing. So here's the problem with kids in particular. And it's really interesting because over my career, I've counseled a ton of parents around dealing with children who are supremely challenged. The masculine nature is that of the provider and the protector, true warrior. True warrior just shows up. They don't have to whip out their weapons. They just, by product of their energy, create that sense of safety. Feminine nature is the nurturer and the muse, creativity, love, etc. We've talked about this. Just want to repeat it. So here's the problem with kids. The kids don't see this modeled to them. So boys are seeking a sense of that power, that warrior energy, but they're seeking it through tribal associations. A lot of times gang activity, or I believe that this is the prolification of really violent video games. They join these societies, imagine societies, and create these personas that are in fact a warrior, but the focus is not essential. Or they disappear into addiction, apathy, isolation. A lot of really isolated kids in the world right now. Girls, it's terrifying what happens to the girls. They're seeking validation through sexual promiscuity. As early as age 10 is the median right now. Absolutely terrifying. My daughter's 23, thank the Lord. And, you know, I had to learn a lot in order to be the right kind of role model for her around all of this stuff. The other thing that happens with the girls is they'll switch to the opposite end. And that's that pendulum swing we've talked about before. If they're not getting that validation emotionally, they're going to flip into the shadow warrior, and it turns into violence and drugs. Sometimes the violence is every bit as brutal, if not more so, than their male counterparts. We've seen some horrific stories on the news of these girls that are just, you know, crazy and beating up other girls, and it's really scary. And that is seems to be increasing in a lot of ways. I'll tell you what, I did some research for a book proposal I'm working on right now, and every single ill that we have in our culture, I guarantee you, can be traced to reverse polarity. So we don't have the role models in the world. So, you know, as a parent, what do you do? How do you create that environment for these kids to come into their essential nature if they're out in the world and it's not around them? So we're going to be talking about that today. And I am super excited at the bevy of beauties in the studio with me today. I've got Liz, Angie, and Sammy, and Becky's on the line. And we are all here to talk about this very, very powerful subject. So, girls, I want y'all to say hi.
Hello.
That's perfect. Little chorus there. So I just want to get a little intro from each of you, find out about, I know about you and I know about your kids, but let's let the audience find out about you. So, Anne, you want to start, hon?
Yes. I have two sweet little boys. One is 6 and one is 4.
Okay.
And they're firecrackers.
Yeah, they are firecrackers and completely adorable.
Yes, and, that they are.
Yeah. And you have some very good questions today, don't you, about
I
this?
I do.
Yeah, you bet. Okay. Liz, Honey Buns, what about you?
Hello. I have a 10-year-old son.
Okay.
And his dad and I are divorced. So okay, that sort of, for me, adds another level of complexity to the issue of polarity.
Absolutely. You bet. And you're married.
I am.
Okay. Yeah. So we got a single mom. Yep. Sammy, what about you, babe?
Like Liz, I too am divorced, and I have a son that just turned 10 and a very soon-to-be 14-year-old daughter.
Oh, that's an age, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Wow. And Becky, honey.
Yes, I have a 6-year-old daughter and a 7.5-year-old son, okay. And I am married.
Okay. All right. So we have a great demographic here, two single moms, two married moms. So there's obviously going to be some different dynamics there, and you're all going to just love this because, in fact, the dynamics are pretty much identical. None of you got excuses on this one, see? So, so just tell me what your questions are. Like I said, we started this dialogue a few weeks back, and it's really powerful. So tell me what you're interested in today.
Well, the polarity study with you has been really amazing and has really changed my life and my relationship, especially with my husband. And so, of course, I want to translate that to, you know, my kids. And as a mom, you know, I feel like the provider and the protector for my kids.
Okay.
And so my big question is, how do I reconcile that very masculine job with my feminine core being?
You bet. You bet. Liz, what's your question, babe?
Well, ditto on what Angie just said. And because it does seem like when I interact with my son, so much of it, I'm not able to be in my feminine core because it's about getting homework done and getting baseball done and being certain places at certain times. And so that's a big part of my question. And then the other part of the question was whether it's appropriate or even possible for moms and sons to be in a polaritudinal relationship.
Right. So. That's a great question. It's a great question. Sammy.
Oh, so my daughter, I'm going to step away from the sons for a minute.
You bet.
I'm going to focus on my daughter. And I really want to work on how to get her to embrace her divine feminine side, which is difficult for me. I'm still trying to do that and be able to model it. But yet, because I sort of have to operate out of the masculine so much.
Yep.
How do we get there?
How do you get the balance? Absolutely. Becky, honey.
Yeah. Well, my situation, I feel like, changed after I actually took the CSI program because I feel like my relationship with my daughter shifted by just shifting myself.
Amen.
And my husband's going to be taking the CSI program starting next month, so I'm hoping.
Yeah.
But I see the changes in him and also, you know, how that translates with my son. But so right now my focus is a little bit more on my son is super sensitive and has a lot of fear and is, I mean, it's not that he doesn't show a masculine side, but I realize that his fears kind of stop him a lot and just how to encourage.
You bet.
That development in him to be more in his masculine.
Okay. Awesome.
But he is only 7.5, so I realize it could be just a developmental.
Some of it is, actually. And so here's how we're going to do this. I'm going to just kind of launch in here and because there is some overlap in these questions. And if, you know, just all four of you jump on in and ask more stuff as we're going along here. And it's interesting because the first thing that has to happen is you all have to be operating from your core to the highest of your ability. That's crucial. There's no exception to that rule. Are you taking notes? Good girls. they're writing this down. They're such good students. so that's the first and foremost thing. And so again, when we're talking masculine feminine energy, we are talking the masculine qualities are purpose, focus, direction, presence, strength. The masculine is the protector provider. He is the rock. It is that very heroic, very, very epic and heroic energy. The feminine is the nurturer. She's the muse. She's love, light, emotion, support. She's the weather. She experiences every nuance of every moment in the world and brings it and expresses it. It's amazing. I mean, I'm going to talk a little bit after the break about an experience or a situation that took place where if polarity had been right, things would have been dramatically different. But for now, it's important to understand that you are not going to always 100% be in your feminine. You're just not. Even if you have the ultimate polarity marriage or the ultimate polarity relationship, the world is not in right polarity. It just isn't. So that's a fact. So the balance needs to be struck. First of all, where are you gonna find the ultimate masculine, ladies?
God.
Oh, you guys are good. And the audience is rolling their eyes going, oh man, how much did she pay these women to say this stuff? Where's the script? No script. This is what we teach here. This is the bottom line is it's the answer. God is the ultimate masculine energy. The goddess is who we as women get to become and express in the world. So if you do not have good masculine energy around you, you got to be really deeply connected to God. You got to be cultivating that relationship right, left, and center and allowing him to be the protector and provider so that you can energetically be in your feminine. You're going to have to employ your masculine qualities, all right? There's a difference between being masculine and employing your masculine qualities. Everybody's got masculine and feminine in them. In our world, we don't live in a time frame even where women can just be the nurturers, just be the muse. We have to be businesswomen, single parents. We are running the show a lot of the times. We're in two income houses. We're working, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a different world. It's a different ballgame. But it's not impossible. And the key is you choose your moments, right? You choose your moments when you are that focus, purpose, presence, strength, et cetera. And you do it from a feminine perspective. So you're probably saying, what does that look like, right? What the heck does that look like? Well, here's what that looks like. That looks like when you are running to and fro from ball games, etc., you are as relaxed as possible, first of all, okay? If you're wrapped around the axle about, you know, getting where you need to go, right? So there's some great prayers that you can say about divine order, affirming that your life is in divine order. I give thanks that my life is now in divine order. I'm not kidding you, that's that simple. Divine order now manifests for me in every aspect of my life is another great way to put it. So if you start to work spiritually with the structure of your life, that's going to, I mean, would you agree, ladies, that that's going to help you relax?
Yes.
I mean, you've done that before. You've experienced that before, right? Okay. When we get wrapped around the axle is when we're trying humanly to juggle everything. We're trying to keep all the balls in the air. And that's the problem, especially being a single parent, but especially being a working parent too. That's the problem. You're juggling a billion balls. And the only way you're going to be able to do that successfully and stay in your feminine core is to trust that you are divinely guided. You got to turn some of this stuff over. If you don't have humans to delegate this to, then you better start delegating it to angels or whomever. All right. So God's the perfect masculine on this stuff. I'm not kidding you. When you are dealing with, say, homework, etc., one of the things that you're going to want to start to do is to help your kids understand polarity. So I would invite you to have conversations with them about it. And you'll be surprised, even the young ones, they get it because it's instinctual. They understand this stuff. So, Ange, let me ask you a question. Are your boys, because they're young, right?
Yeah.
You got the youngest of the gang here.
Mm-hmm.
Do they like to roughhouse and wrestle, and do they do any that kind of stuff?
Oh, yes. Lots of wrestling. Lots of Jedi,
yeah.
Warrior.
Perfect. Yeah, perfect. Yep. You bet. So. Is it fair to say that a vast majority of the society tries in this day and age to encourage parents to discourage the warrior and the masculine?
Absolutely.
Don't give them guns. Don't give them swords, right?
Yes. And I feel a lot of pressure in that way because whenever we have a play date, you know, I always have to ask the mom, you know, do you let them play with swords? Is that okay? Yeah, because it's definitely the culture and the pressure is to not let them play with swords. Don't let them play with guns.
Any
of that stuff.
We want to raise, in this culture, we want to raise soft men. We just do. We want to raise soft men. Here's the problem with that. That energy is going to come out the back door. It has to come out. I guarantee you, ADD, besides, oh man, and I'm going to get myself in trouble on this one, besides being, I think, a total conspiracy theory of the drug companies, Okay. I believe that the vast majority of attention deficit disorder has to do because these kids are being stifled energetically. And I'm not talking new age bliss ninny. Oh, I just loved it. I just wanted to let my child do everything that they want to do. And I don't want to, you know, get in the way of their natural expression as the kid's like throwing himself through a plate glass window. Okay. That's not what I'm talking about here. But if your kid wants to play with a Jedi sword, you're going to teach him what that means. You're going to teach him that he is the protector and the provider. He's not just out to slaughter someone, okay? Help them understand. There are great stories to tell your children. There are folk tales to tell your children about heroes. Great, great mythology about heroes and what heroes are all about, what they stand for, what, you know, fighting the good fight. Well, I'll tell you what, fighting the good fight is about fighting for God, literally. Knights of old, the Knights of the Round Table, all that stuff. Those stories are just chock full of that iconology. And so you get to start to play with your kids in that respect. Even movies like Star Wars, if you look at those metaphorically, it's totally about the dark versus the light, is it not?
Oh,
Luke.
Yeah.
Join the dark side. Okay? So you have a language even right there. If they're playing Jedi Warrior, you have a language to start with. So, and it doesn't mean you have to sit your kids down and lecture them. It means that you can open a dialogue with them. And how often do you feel like you wish you had something that you could talk about with your children? Right? Is that fair, you guys?
Yeah, and engage and play with them.
Engage and play with them.
At their level,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can make up a story with those kids about, you know, there's a kingdom in danger. Kingdom in danger against some evil, you know, person. There's evil in the world. Evil's a choice. Help them understand that too, right? There's not incarnate evil. Evil's a decision that people make. We're seeing that in the world all the time. So help them define or develop an evil character. Talk about, well, what makes that person evil? What kind of decisions are they making? Okay, now you get to be the warrior. You guys stand between this kingdom. The women and the children. Go to the whole old-fashioned mythology, and I can feel feathers ruffling right now. Can't you hear it? I can hear eyeballs rolling out there in the audience. I totally can, because people are going, it's so old-fashioned, it's so sexist. No, it is not. It's total polarity, and it's completely instinctual. And it is about that divine story. Why do myths last forever? Because they're in every single culture, and they're in the subconscious psyche of the human species. It's the myth of mankind, as Joseph Campbell called it. So, does that make sense to you, Ange?
Yes, and I love that. I love the feel of that, because I always felt like it was okay, you know, that he was drawn toward,
yes.
This is my oldest, because my youngest doesn't really want anything to do with swords, but
right.
That he was really drawn to this, and it was mm-hmm. playful for him, and it wasn't, didn't seem
vicious and mean.
Evil or vicious
no.
in any way.
No.
So, but with that perspective, it really just all...
Yeah.
It feels good.
Start to understand that when you're raising boys, they have a natural desire to fight. Teach them that that is a good thing. And then they're going to be able to be in choice about it. They're not going to go out on the streets and pick a fist fight. Okay, these kids that spaz out at school and start beating somebody up, I will guarantee you that they, A, are not being seen in the world. They're not being parented appropriately, and they don't understand how to channel that kind of energy. And you add a child who is abused or neglected or ignored or scared, and you give him any kind of energy to act out in a natural polarity way, it's going to absolutely come out as the Dark Knight. It's not going to be the knight who's fighting for good. It just isn't. So that's, and you can help the kids understand also that what they're seeing in the world in their classmates or on the television, for crying out loud, reality shows are full of reverse polarity, that is the reverse of it. Have dialogues with your kids about that. What are you drawn to in that show? And what do you notice about this, right? You got to have dialogues about this. That's the where it starts. And it's amazing what these children already understand. Does that make sense to you guys? Have you had any experience like that, Liz?
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense, especially because we don't have a lot of, like, real-life people mm-hmm. right now where we can, you know, point out the polarity. So going to the mythology and stories seems like a really good way to go. And what you said about ADD really struck home because my son recently was diagnosed with ADD.
Oh, man.
And so to me, that just says this is even more important to start implementing this with him.
Absolutely. Beck, honey. I don't want to ignore you since we can't visually see you, darling. So what we're talking about, does that make any sense with you, with your son, as far as what's going on with him?
Yeah, I guess I'm in this place of, because he has so much fear, I don't know how to present some of this stuff. I mean, he did, we did start out with the no gun rule in our house, and he was so obsessed with guns.
Yeah.
That I'm like, this is doing more harm than good.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now we have guns galore and laser beams and swords and all that stuff. And he looks at them, he plays with them, and it's just not the same obsession. So I feel like it's been good. But and he totally wants to watch the Star Wars movies, but he also just has nightmares a lot. And so I was trying to figure out how to balance, what to show him and how what to bring into his life to bring. So maybe the stories are
the stories. Absolutely. And I recommend this for every parent, but especially when you're dealing with a boy who's afraid. And we're going to talk about the girls here in a little bit. Help him create an icon. Help him create an icon of ultimate masculine, an icon of a hero. Flesh and blood that he can pretend, you know that whole stigma about kids with their imaginary playmates? Well, I'm going to highly recommend your kids have imaginary playmates, because let me tell you what, those are going to be a lot healthier than a lot of the human playmates that they're going to be hanging around with right now. So give him the capacity to, and get detailed about it. What does this guy look like? What's he wearing? What does he eat for breakfast? Where does he live? Does he ride a horse? Does he ride a Harley? Come up with an amazing description of this guy. Give him a name, all of it. And let your son start to hang out. This is no different than the parts, you guys. In the CSI process or in NLP, you're working with the parts of the psyche. You get a chance to hook your kids up to these instinctual icons that live in their psyches. These archetypes are there for a reason. We got to use them. And part of the reason that I think the boys are afraid, a lot of these younger kids that are coming onto the planet right now are a lot more sensitive energetically than they've ever been. And the vibration is different on the planet. So what's happening is you got these kids coming down here who are super wide open. They're picking up on the Saturday Night Live skit of fear. It's so intense on the planet right now. And then we're robbing them of their natural sense of themselves as a hero. I'd be afraid too. If I was a boy and I felt that I should be a hero, but I didn't know how to be one, and I felt instinctively, but I couldn't even put a language to it, that people were needing me to defend them and protect them, and I didn't even know how, and I was being discouraged by people to do that very thing, I'd freak out too. I wouldn't know how to express myself, you know? And fear is just one energy. There's fear and there's love. Those are the two energies. Okay, movie thing here. A Christmas Story. Great film, right? Ralphie gets, he's wanting that BB gun, right? The whole movie. And those scenes where he's defending his family from Black Bart and they're hiding under the table. Darren McGavin is so brilliant in that scene. Oh, Ralphie, save us, right? Well, that kid thinks he is the coolest thing since sliced bread because he's protecting his family. And we could sit here and we could argue for hours about, well, then we're encouraging bloodshed, etc. No, we are not. What we're talking about here is we're encouraging heroics. We're encouraging the good fight. And then the other thing that I want to talk about before we go off to break is this is the time to start dialoguing with your kids about God. Help them understand the polarity of God. Help them understand the masculine is about using God as their ultimate mentor, their ultimate leader, okay? Their trusted best friend who they turn everything over to ultimately, but they're out there fighting shoulder to shoulder with God, out there on the battlefield, and God is going to guide them to do the right thing. If you give them that connection, and if it needs to start with an icon, do that first. Give them that hero and make sure you can, and believe me, if you do this, you're not going to have to tell your kids how to go to this particular place. They're going to automatically go there. A true hero is connected to God. A true hero has that sense of right and wrong. So help them understand that. Start there if necessary. Give them an angel to be connected to. Archangel Michael, are you kidding me? He's got a flaming sword. That dude doesn't take anything off of anybody. Hook him up to the Archangel Michael. 7 feet tall with a 40-foot wingspan and a sword in his hand. You know, there's your perfect icon. Help them start to find God. And then as masculine, what are they here to do for the feminine, ladies? What is the masculine here to do for the feminine?
Protect and provide.
Thank you. Protect and provide. Create safe space so that the feminine can work her magic, so the goddess can show up. Help the boys understand that that's what they're here for, too. And then the girls get to be plugged into their intuition, their creative expression, their emotions. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you want to teach your daughters that it's not only okay to feel and to express emotion, to cry and to rage and to be in glee and joy and passion, but you want to encourage it because it's the divine birthright. And let me tell you what, the planet would be a completely different place if women were encouraged to do that. And the masculine was encouraged to create safety for that. And that's not all that the feminine is, but that is a massive piece of her power. And the second thing that the feminine needs to be encouraged to do is trust her intuition, trust her instincts. Feminine intuition is the most powerful radar system known to mankind. And in children, it is off the charts. And that's getting squashed right and left and center in our world right now. That's another reason why these kids are being diagnosed with ADD and all these other things, because they are feeling and they're responding to what they're feeling. And it doesn't fit the structure of our educational systems, our medical systems, nothing. And parents, most of the time, don't know what the heck to do with that because it's scary. You know, that it's a lot of energy being run through these little pumpkins. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to keep talking about this. Angie, Liz, Sammy, Becky, love you guys. So glad you're here. Everybody stick around. This is Living on a Prayer. I'm Michelle Morgan. Don't go away.
Conjunction, junction, what's your function?
Hooking up two boxcars and making them run right. Milk and honey, bread and butter, peas and rice.
Hey, that's nice.
Dirty but happy, digging and scratching, losing your shoe and a button or two. He's poor but honest, sad but true. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo!
Conjunction, junction, what's your function?
Hooking up two cars to one when you say something like...
Dissatisfied with your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense 4-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
What might life be like if there were room for heroes and goddesses again? Not merely in fairy tales, but alive in every one of us. Are you ready to truly own and live your destiny? Introducing CSI, developed and facilitated by visionary NLP practitioner Michelle Morgan. CSI is a unique fusion of progressive techniques which create powerful permanent change in the psyche at the exact point where your unconscious patterns originate. Go to www.michellemorgan.org to find out more about CSI. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Founded by the English,
but also by the Germans, Dutch, and French.
The principle still sticks, our heritage is mixed.
So any kid could be the president.
You simply melt right in. It doesn't matter what your skin. It doesn't matter where you're from or your religion. You jump right into the Great American Melting Pot. Great American Melting Pot.
And we are back. with our child-themed music from Miss Barb Perry. You rock today, Barb, as usual. And you look adorable. She does. She's our little fashionista. Wish you could all see her. She's gorgeous today in purple. Love it, love it, love it. So we are in the studio with four fabulous moms, and we have been talking about raising children with right polarity. This is a loaded, loaded topic, and I'm digging having the chance to bring this one to the audience. So I want to talk about a story that I usually cite in classes when I'm teaching stuff about polarity, because to me, this is such an extraordinary illustration of what happens with reverse polarity and what's possible when it's right polarity, especially in kids. So a number of years back, there was a string of horrible situations that happened in public schools. One happened in an Amish school where a guy broke in and did some awful things to kids. And just prior to the Amish school, there was a high school, and a 42-year-old man wearing a hooded sweatshirt, carrying several weapons, walked into that school, walked into a classroom, lined six or more girls up in front of the chalkboard, sexually molested them in front of their classmates, and then shot himself. I believe he shot one of the girls as well. And it was absolutely, even talking about it, we were talking on the break that I have a box of Kleenex sitting here and I need it when I tell this story, because it just upsets me to my bones when I talk about this stuff. But here's what to me is so frightening and so fascinating about this story. That apparently that gentleman sat in a pickup truck in the parking lot of that school for 2 hours, and he was drinking beer, and he had loaded weapons on the seat beside him. And they estimated 200 kids walked past that truck. So I want you to be with me on this. So let's just say 100 of those students were girls. All right. I will guarantee you, because of the way the feminine is wired, hardwired, every woman is hardwired to be instinctual. Those 100 girls walked past that truck and they felt something. They felt something wasn't right. They might not have known what they were feeling. They might not have had a clue, but I guarantee you that they felt something wasn't right. What might have happened if one of those girls had been taught that her instincts, her intuition was the most powerful thing that she's ever going to have? That's God talking through her, and the world needs that. What if that girl had been able to go to a boy and say, you know what? I don't know why I feel this, but I'm really scared. This really bugs me. There's something wrong here. And that boy had looked at her and said, you know what, kiddo, I'm on it. And he'd gone in the office and gotten somebody in authority to come out there, they would have apprehended this guy, and that never would have happened. Those girls would never have been hurt. One of them was killed. Not to mention the psychological aspects of everybody witnessing that, everybody else that was at the school. What would the truth be in this world if girls were taught that they were right on the money when they felt something, and it was okay if they didn't know what they felt? But they were safe to go to the masculine, either an authority figure or a boy, and say, I don't know why, but I don't feel good. I'm scared. And the boy said, I'm on it. I'm handling this for you. And they took care of it. Can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine what this world would be like right now? That is the truth of polarity, you guys. That's absolutely the truth of it. And so when you've got these kids that are coming down here and they're super sensitive, you want to help them understand who they are. And that is God being expressed. That's God as the hero being expressed through the masculine. It's the goddess being expressed as love through the feminine. And look at our world today. We've got men who are abusing, I mean, flat out, whether they're physically abusing people, they're financially abusing people, they're abusing power. They're making decisions that are so not in the collective best interest. The hero looks at everything. The hero takes in information and he makes a decision that is good for the collective. We don't have too many heroes on this planet right now. They're out there, but they're not that many. And the feminine, what's happened to the feminine, ladies? Help me out here. What do you see happening to the feminine? Dive in there, girls. Beck, what do you see happening to the feminine?
She's having to be too masculine.
Yeah, absolutely.
And her intuition's competing with everybody else.
Yeah, Yeah. Well, and what happens, because here's another thing to remember about this is the yin-yang, the qualities of masculine and feminine. Masculine processes physically and intellectually. Feminine processes spiritually and emotionally. So what happens when a girl is not taught to process emotionally and spiritually, she's not trusted in her instinct, she's going to flip into her instinct, or excuse me, her intellect, and she's going to talk herself out of her instincts. Does that sound familiar, girls? I'm getting a big head bob yes. over here from all four. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Sammy, you were going to say something, babe. What's going on?
I was just going to say the same thing that Becky said.
Okay.
Yeah. That the feminine's having to operate much too much in the masculine.
You bet. Absolutely. And again, you're going to have to be employing your masculine nature, ladies, as mothers, as working women. You just have to. And you can. And the cool thing is you can teach your daughters that too. But it's about hanging up the sword and the shield and the armor at the door when you're home, when you're around your men, right? Or when you are just kicking back. If you don't have a man in the picture, a man in the household, who's going to be the masculine?
God.
Thank
God.
You. Man, the look on their face. They're waiting for those gold stars on their charts at the end of this thing here. So give me some other issues. Have we covered everything so far? I don't think so. What are some other questions? Anybody?
I have a question about how to help my sons relate with each other. I mean, that's I understand they're like 4 and 6 and,
right.
you know, they get on each other's nerves a lot, but I want them to grow up and be buddies and yeah. have each other to lean on when yeah. they're older.
By virtue of teaching them about the hero, what's going to happen is that their natural propensity for competition, which is really healthy, is going to be channeled appropriately. They are, this is not a digression. This is an actual story that fits. No offense to anybody out there about this. I had pygmy goats. I had 2 pygmy goats for years. I have a daughter. She was my only kid. So my experience with brothers was pygmy goats. Oh, my goodness sakes. Patch and Oliver. Oliver was the little one. Patch was the bigger one. And they literally could not stand next to each other for 30 seconds without headbutting, biting, kicking, and doing all those things. Well, I've noticed that human boys do the identical thing.
They do.
And not little boys necessarily. I see high schoolers doing this, man. They got to be like poking and punching and hitting and all that other stuff. Why? Well, so thinking, let's go back to the whole archetypal mythology thing, right? What are the knights doing when they're in off hours? What are they doing? Are they kicking back in a hammock, drinking a margarita? Probably not. They're probably practicing. They're probably out on the field. They're probably jousting. They're blowing off that kind of steam all the time. Competition in the masculine is huge because competition keeps them sharp. If, I'm about to say something that's giving me a visual like nobody's business. But so let's just all picture the men that we know in this world who are kicking back on the couch with a remote in their hand. They look like they're 9 months pregnant. They're popping down, you know, their 10th Budweiser and a burger. And then we wonder why we don't feel safe. Okay, well, let me tell you what. You hand a man like that a sword, he is going to probably just open a package of cookies with it. He's not going to necessarily know how to be heroic. Okay, so that physical activity thing, that's huge. Sports are great. Sports have also gotten a little whacked in our culture. Okay, don't get me started on that. That's probably a whole separate show. But bottom line, healthy competition is about sharpening that edge in those men. And so help your boys, again, encourage the competition, but do it in a way where it's structured, perhaps, or they understand and appreciate what that's about. And that, again, goes to telling those stories, helping them own the hero in them. If you're owning your core, the cool thing about it, you guys, if you own your core, then you automatically start to take right action in the world. It doesn't have to be this conscious decision. And you all have noticed that, haven't you, from doing the prayer work stuff. Becky, you've done the CSI process. You know how when you start to come into integrity, the right decisions just automatically happen, right? Yeah. So that's what you get to help your kids start to do. And then they're going to fight. They're going to absolutely fight. And so then you help them again with this idea of, okay, the greater good is what we're going for here. And you can help them negotiate an outcome of a situation for the greater good. And if you give, and if you trust them to do that, that's the other piece too with the boys. How do we get back on the boys? Man, there's so much to talk about with the masculine. But if you, if you start to trust them and respect them, give them that trust and respect to the best of your ability as a parent, they're going to step up to the plate because it's instinctual in them. I guarantee you it is. Okay. And that, if you're in your feminine, nothing inspires true masculine faster than true feminine. I'm not kidding you. That statement, behind every good man, there's a great woman. There's a reason for that. Because the masculine is inspired by true feminine. The feminine needs to feel safe. That is the key for the daughters. The feminine has to feel safe. So how do you do that, right? How do you create safety? I mean, Sammy, is that a legitimate concern?
You. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And Becky, is that a legitimate concern?
Yeah,
you bet. So if you have a man in your life, and in your case, Becky, your husband, God bless him for doing the CSI process. He's going to come more into his masculine. He can create that role model for her. You, darling girl, who are you going to introduce her to?
God.
Amen. God, you bet. I'm telling you, get her connected to her spiritual nature, which is even easier to do in the feminine. They're just right there.
Are fairies okay, too?
Oh, fairies are the best.
She's got her imaginary fairy friend already.
That's perfect. Aww. So start to help her understand what that's about. Give her permission to go really deeply into that and help her understand that that is the divine expression. That's divinity personified. That's a really powerful way to start to help her be connected spiritually. And then it's important. This is one of the parts of polarity that everybody kind of gets in an uproar about typically. In order to create right polarity where the feminine truly feels safe, masculine has to bring true masculine minimum 80% of the time. All right. We don't live in a world where there's 80% masculine going on. It just isn't happening. So God is the absolute key in that one. And as parents, especially feminine parents, as mothers, we are naturally psychically connected to our children. Even if we didn't birth them, we're still psychically connected to our children, and we are totally plugged in spiritually. That's the realm that we absolutely rule. So we get to pray for our kids. You get to put your children in God's hands. If you're up to your eyeballs and you can't figure out how to make it to the next baseball game, or you can't figure out how to get your kid to do their homework, turn it over. Start to do some prayer work around that. Be shocked by the outcome. I'm not kidding you. And I want to hear a resounding answer from all four of you girls. Haven't you noticed that when you actually do go, oh, wait a minute, I don't have to do everything by myself. I can actually turn this over. What happens? What happens when you do that?
It feels amazing.
Yeah.
It gets easy.
Yes.
It gets very easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Liz, jump in there.
Yeah. Everything just seems to work. And despite yourself.
Exactly. It is. It's totally despite yourself. We get out of God's way, and we get out of our own way, and then God can get in there and work his miracles, you know, and that's going to happen real fast, especially with the kids. The kids, your children do not have layers and layers of programming. They've got family legacies. Where did they get their legacies, ladies? From us. Okay. If you change your legacy, you change it for your children. So if you do the work and you shift the stuff, you're going to automatically change the legacy for your kids. Okay. That's a cool thing. But the bottom line is, a child doesn't have 20 to 30 to 40 years of patterns ingrained in them. So they're going to be more open to this stuff. They're going to be more open to this kind of spiritual change that can be affected. And you are the conduit for that as a mother. No question about it. And then the man, the dads in these scenarios, if you're divorced, you're probably divorced because you were married to a guy who was not in his masculine. Correct me if I'm wrong here. True?
True.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a challenge, because most of the time your kids are hanging out with their dad on some level. Okay. So there's the prayer work as well. There is the massive prayer work. And guess what that requires? Forgiveness. That requires that you forgive the ex. And true forgiveness is not what you did is okay. True forgiveness is, you know what? What happened, happened, and I'm choosing not to carry the energy of it anymore. Do those forgiveness prayers that y'all learned, okay? And go at it spiritually, because that's a challenging piece. And when you're co-parenting, you're connected to that person for the rest of your children's lives. I mean, there's no question about that. So is that helping with the girls? Does that make some sense about the safety piece?
Yes, I think it's great.
Okay, Beck?
Yeah, I'm trying to formulate like a whole bevy of questions into one question.
So I'm going to suggest you do this. I'm going to suggest you hang on to your bevy of questions, because I guarantee you we're doing another show. In fact, we may be doing this next week. So can you ask part of a question? Because we got a few minutes left.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, my daughter is only 6, and so I'm not quite here yet. But I realize, like, going into that whole preteen and teenager stuff, as far as, like, what the how they're personifying the feminine at that point, which
right.
to me, as I'm driving past the high school, seems so
scary.
Yeah.
I can say, looking high school we'll be starting in the next few months, and it is very scary. The thing that I'm most thankful about is my daughter is very intuitive, and she is very much seeking a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And what perfect timing that
yes.
I can now help
yeah.
give her the avenue in which to do that.
Yeah.
And maybe high school won't be so scary for us.
The absolute key to avoiding the typical nightmare of teenagedom is to get your kids in their cores, period. Get the girls in their intuition, because guess what, girls? Think back, and I'm telling you what, I'm going to quote something from the show The Wonder Years. Remember The Wonder Years? That was such a great show. And there was a quote in one episode where the little boy Kevin needed to go for a walk because his neighbor had been killed in the Vietnam War, and he was really grieving, and he needed to process. So he goes for a walk, and the narrator, who's the grown-up Kevin, is talking, and he says, that was back in the day when a 12-year-old could go for a walk at night by himself and not end up on the back of a milk carton. So we live in a world that's very, very scary, right? But you got to teach your girls to be intuitive, because think back to when we were in school. We knew instinctively the kids that we didn't want to be hanging out with, but sometimes we did hang out with for peer pressure or whatever. We knew it wasn't right. Instinctively, we knew that it wasn't right. So if you arm your kids, not only with their cores, but you help them understand that there's power in that, ultimate power in that. The boys are going to love that. That's a Tim Allen syndrome. The masculine always wants to be more powerful. So help the boys understand that they're going to be all powerful if they are in their authentic core, and help them understand what heroic power looks like. Feminine, she's going to be totally powerful if she's intuitive, because she's going to be able to bypass all of that garbage that goes on in a high school. And it's also crucial that you teach your children forgiveness. You teach your children that there are people out there who are lost and scared and don't know how to function in the world. Your kids don't have to fix them, but your kids can pray for them. You can absolutely get those kids doing that kind of thing. It's great stuff. It's absolutely great stuff. And do it in a way where it's fun. God is fun. It doesn't have to be this heavy duty thing. It's something that you can do together with your children and encourage them creatively around that. Phenomenal. Have your kids write letters to the angels of the kids that are troubling them. That's really powerful action to take. To the angel of so-and-so, I give thanks that you're now helping this person be kind and nice to me and nice to everybody else, and that they get help for the things that they're afraid of, or whatever it is, whatever's going on. Help your kids understand that. Compassion's key on this one. And manners also are missing, and those will come from having somebody in their core. So we are on the downhill slide of this. I'm telling you, girls, we are doing this next week. We are doing the second edition of this. Are y'all in with me? Beck, you're going to be able to do it?
Yep.
Right on. And you three? Yes? I'm
yep.
getting head
yep.
bobs. Yes. Okay, good. Cool. We are going to keep going with this. So here's what I want to throw out there to my listeners. You got questions about this stuff? Email me. Seriously. Get them, because we'll try and open the phone lines, but we may not be able to do that because we're also good at yakking, all five of us here. So email us some questions. You want something covered about this stuff? Get it to me. And let's keep going with this. This is an amazing topic. And I personally would love to see polarity created with this new generation. I think the world is absolutely begging for that. And I know God's looking for it. So really appreciate this. This has been absolutely amazing. Angie, Liz, Sammy, Becky, sweetheart, I'm going to have you in the studio next time because I can't see your sweet face. You girls were awesome. Thank you so much for being here. Barb, you rock the Casbah as usual. We will be back next week. Same topic, kids and polarity. Hang in there. Have a great week. This is Michelle Morgan. This is Living on a Prayer.
You've been listening to Living on a Prayer with your host, Michelle Morgan. Join Michelle next Monday at high noon for another hour of attitude, angels, and answers. And in the meantime, visit Michelle on the web at www.michellemorgan.org. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.